hour after intercourse, and then comes out and kills her. Ross nodded. Following delivery of the blow to the head, she's lifted up and placed on the bed. At this time, she's not bleeding much. No blood to speak of on the dressing table or rug. But now, her killer picks up some instrument and stabs her in the stomach several times. You'll notice that the deepest wounds are all in the lower abdomen, which may have some sexual connotations for the killer, but that's just guessing on our part. Ross nodded, but said nothing. She moved closer to the body to examine the stab wounds. They were all small, puncture-like in appearance, with a good deal of skin tearing around the wounds.
You find a weapon?
No, the doctor said.
What do you think it was?
I'm not sure. Nothing very sharp, but something strong. It took a lot of force to penetrate this way with a relatively blunt instrument.
Another argument that it's a man, Anders said.
Yes, I guess it was something metal, like a blunt letter opener or a metal ruler or a screwdriver, something like that. But what's really interesting, the doctor went on, is this phenomenon here. He pointed to the girl's left arm, which was outstretched on the bed and mutilated badly by stab wounds. You see, he stabbed her in the stomach, then stabbed her arm, moving out in a regular way, a succession of stabbings. Now notice, when he's past the arm, he continues to stab. You can see the tears in the sheet and blanket. They continue out in a straight line. He pointed to the tears. Now, the doctor said, in my book, that's perseveration, automatic continuation of pointless movement, like he was some kind of machine that just kept going and going.
That's correct, Ross said.
We assume, the doctor said, that it represents some kind of trance or seizure state, but we don't know if it was organic or functional, natural or artificially induced. And since the girl led him into the apartment freely, this trance-like state developed only later. Ross realized that the coroner's man was showing off, and it irritated her. This was the wrong time to be playing Sherlock Holmes. Anders handed her the metal dog tag.
We were proceeding routinely with the investigation, he said, when we found this.
Ross turned the tag over in her hand.
I have an implanted atomic pacemaker. Direct physical injury or fire may rupture the capsule and release toxic materials. In the event of injury or death, call NPS 213-652-1134.
That was when we called you, Anders said.
He watched her carefully.
We've leveled with you, he said.
Now it's your turn.
His name is Harry Benson, she said. He's 34, and he has a disinhibitory lesion.
The doctor snapped his fingers. I'll be damned, ADL.
What's a disinhibitory lesion? Anders said. And what's ADL?
At that moment, a plainclothesman came in from the living room.
We got a trace on the prints, he said. They're listed in the defense databanks, of all places. This guy had classified clearance from 1960.